Let's talk about dialogue. Now, the first thing I want to say about dialogue is it's not just about what's said. I'll finish that in a minute. When I ask screenwriting students what they think a screenplay is, common responses include dialogue. But if a script were just about dialogue, it wouldn't be much different than a stage play, right? Now, what dialogue does is add different and another layer to what we see on the screen. It is possible to make an entire feature film without any dialogue. That's what the silent movies were all about. But I suspect something would be missing. Why? Because we are lingual creatures, right? We talk. We communicate. In a movie like Castaway, we were forced to tap into our other senses, though, namely our sight, sound, smell, to truly be a part of Tom Hanks' character's journey. Do you realize just how little dialogue there was in that movie? I loved it, all right? Many beginning screenwriters think that they can fool folks into thinking that they are good writers simply by putting decent dialogue onto the page. Now, don't get me wrong. I love dialogue. It's certainly one of the best things that I do. But that's only part of the great screenwriting equation. And no part is greater than the sum. You can create the most visual characters in the world, but if the words they utter make no sense, you haven't done much as a screenwriter. Sometimes writers rely too much on dialogue, and any time I skim a script and see pages upon pages upon pages of dialogue, I reach for the Pepto-Bismol, okay? I know it's going to be a long night. Remember, these two things. Dialogue must, one, reveal character, and two, advance the story. Now let's talk about revealing character. In other words, you can't put words into your character's mouths that don't belong there. If you create a character that's starched and polished, it would appear to be very much out of character for that individual to use a lot of slang, unless, of course, that's part of the journey, as with Steve Martin in Bringing Down the House, hilarious movie. Another way to reveal character is what your characters do not say. In the movie Ghost, what phrase does Patrick Swayze never say? Remember? I love you. Instead, he always says, ditto. This reveals character. Brilliant. All right, let's talk about advancing the story. I don't care how clever a line, if it doesn't move the story or the character forward, it must go to the dialogue graveyard. That's a tough pill to swallow, so keep a tall glass of water near the computer. It's okay to love a great line. I love dialogue, or to totally enjoy a sappy monologue by one of your characters, but if the words, number one, don't tell us something that we didn't already know, two, tell us something we've already heard, or three, don't put the story in more motion, it can't stay. Sorry. All right, so you're going to have to discipline yourself so that you won't be seduced by what I call the sweet sounds of fluff. Ah, the sweet sounds of fluff. Instead, discipline yourself to write only what must be said. Not could be said, must be said. Dialogue just for the sake of dialogue does nothing to improve your script. Writing good dialogue comes naturally for some people. For others, it requires much work. The good news is that it's possible to craft entertaining, smart dialogue with lots of practice. So think about this next sentence. Action in your script shows us what is happening. Dialogue tells us why things are happening or why things have happened. Okay? The five commandments of dialogue. Commandment number one, if what your character is saying sounds like what he should say, change it. In other words, don't be so predictable. Here's an example of poor dialogue in this instance. Dave says, you ready to go? Sky says, yes, I'm ready to go. Better dialogue for this instance might be, Dave says, you ready to go? Sky says, I've been waiting on you for 45 minutes. I'm past ready. All right? Commandment number two. If what your character says sounds like it should be coming out of one of your other characters' mouths, change it. Here's an example of poor dialogue. Buck says, howdy, you folks new around here? Trent says, we're from New York. My youngins is going to a camp here for the summer. Better dialogue might be, Buck says, howdy, you folks new around here? Trent says, actually, we're just passing through. My daughters are attending a summer camp at the university. All right, so notice that Trent didn't sound like Buck. All right, there were some revelations there about where he was from based on his dialogue. Commandment number three, if your character can say what she's about to say without uttering a word, show us rather than tell us what she's saying. Here's an example. Poor dialogue. Dave says, you ready to go? Sky says, yes, I'm ready to go. Better dialogue to illustrate commandment number three. Dave says, you ready to go? Sky says, walking past Dave, nothing. She just walks past him. No dialogue was the best dialogue in this instance. All right. Commandment number 4, use dialogue as an opportunity to introduce or underscore conflict between your characters. Poor dialogue. Dave says, I didn't know you dated Scott in college. You didn't tell me that. Sky says, I thought I told you that. I could have sworn I mentioned it. Dave says, we've been married for 5 years, and I have to come to a class reunion to find out you almost married some guy? Sky says, sorry, I should have told you. Now, that's poor dialogue. Here's better dialogue. Dave says, I didn't know you dated Scott in college. How long did you guys date? Sky says, huh? Dave says, you and Scott, how long did you date? Sky says, oh, let's see. I can't remember when I was a freshman, a sophomore. Dave looks at Sky and says, don't do this, Sky. Sky says, do what? Dave says, the oh, I can't remember thing you do whenever I bring up your exes. Sky says, oh, now you're pathologizing me? Dave, I'm just asking what I thought was a fairly straightforward question. Now check out the dialogue in the second instance. Much better than the first one. All right, commandment number 5, give your characters conversational dialogue. Most of us don't always get to finish our sentences, right? When we talk in daily interaction, we don't always get to finish our sentences before someone interrupts us. We can use varying degrees of slang. We use contractions. We're not normally formal in everyday situations. So make sure your characters are real people. They can be fascinating and larger than life, but their voices must be true to who they are. Here's an example. Poor dialogue. Francis, do we need wine? Let us walk over to the wine aisle to see which brands are on sale. Cheryl, I have a coupon for a bottle of Kendall Jackson. It says here that we can get 2 bottles at regular price and the third for 50% off. Here's better dialogue between these two women. Francis, we need wine. Cheryl, need is a relative term. Francis, so don't drink it. You can have a Coke with all the other 12 steppers that'll be there. It's my party and I want wine. Hand me that coupon I gave you yesterday. Cheryl, you didn't give me a coupon yesterday. Francis interrupts her. We were standing in Starbucks. Look in your jacket. I saw you put it in there. Cheryl, I wasn't wearing a jacket yesterday. I was wearing, Francis, that same blue jacket you always wear. It's all you ever wear. Francis, what do you mean it's all I ever wear? Now check out that dialogue. Much better, much crisper than the first one. Let's talk about believability versus probability. How often do you say exactly what you mean? When was the last time you said exactly what you were thinking? The fact is, most of us rarely say what we're thinking or what we mean. So why would your characters be any different? New and old screenwriters are guilty of writing dialogue that's on point, too perfect. Unfortunately, this kind of dialogue is uninteresting and not very engaging. Remember, a great script, even a comedy, hinges on conflict. When people are trying to say something other than what they mean, that's conflict. When people are trying to get another person to say something, that's conflict. Now, let's take one of the most memorable scenes in the movie, Jerry Maguire. It's the phone conversation between Rod, who's played by Cuba Gooding Jr., the football player, and Jerry, who's played by Tom Cruise, the agent, where Rod is trying to get Jerry to understand how fortunate he is to have him as a client. Remember that scene? The conversation takes a hilarious turn when Rod asks Jerry if he loves black people. I know you remember this scene. The conversation takes a hilarious turn when Rod asks Jerry if he loves black people. Now, this would have been funny in and of itself, but it became funnier as Rod continued to demand that Jerry proclaim his love for African-Americans through the phone. So Jerry whispers it, I love black people. Only that's not good enough for Rod, is it? And it doesn't happen until Jerry is screaming, I love black people, that Rod is satisfied. It was laugh out loud funny, and it was full of conflict. That scene was priceless because it involved two people with motivations that could not have been farther apart. Rod wanted to humiliate Jerry and ascertain his loyalty to him as an agent. Jerry wanted to make sure that Rod remained his client. The dialogue for this scene was rife with plenty of variety and tension, and that's what you should strive for in writing your dialogue, remembering that there are varying degrees of conflict. Here's a quick exercise to help you with writing better dialogue. Think about who's your character. What does he want in the scene? What exactly is he saying? What's behind what he's saying? What doesn't he know that could affect what he says? Using the same example from earlier from Jerry Maguire, let's think about Rod's character. What does he want in that scene? He wants to feel appreciated by his agent, to be somebody's first choice. All right? What does he say to communicate what he wants? He says, Bob Sugar says that you're not crazy about black people. He says something to that effect, right? He tries to pull at Jerry's strings. But what's behind what he's saying? He's saying, I don't feel appreciated by you, Jerry. What kind of verbal tool does he use to convey his point? Manipulation. Tell me you love black people, Jerry. Remember he said that? I'm going to call Bob Sugar. It was hilarious. What doesn't he know that could affect what he says? What Rod didn't know is that Jerry had lost nearly every client he had. It was a powerful scene. We thought Rod was bad already. Had he known that Jerry was left with only one client, he might have really hung Jerry out to dry. Now, you try with one of your scenes. Don't skim through the exercise. It may very well be the most important one in the whole book. You can do this for every single scene, and I guarantee you, your dialogue will improve drastically. All right? So let's do an exercise that goes making your dialogue sing. Think of your characters. Think of what your main character wants, or think of what each of the characters in the scene want. What do they say to communicate this want? What's behind what they say? What verbal or other types of tool do they use to convey what they want? And what doesn't your character say that could affect what he wants?